KBSI in the World. I'm John Batchel with Joseph Sternberg. He's in London. He writes political economics for the Wall Street Journal editorial board, commenting on the Federal Reserve meeting of these hours and Wednesday, the 26th, at which time Mr. Powell will come forward and explain the Fed's decision to, and therein lies the mystery. I read from the Bloomberg headlines making this meeting of the Federal Open Meeting Committee very exciting. Lead headline, cracks inside the Fed deepen at crucial moment in inflation fight. And then this headline, subhead, Wall Street already positioning for a post-rate hike world. Joe, I don't want to feel like a gambler here. I want to back up. 10 rate hikes in a year since the spring of 22 to recover where we are. The last opportunity in June, the Fed paused. And now we're told the Fed is ready to accelerate or move or in some way ensure that its work is working and it's watching the jobs market. Therefore, the great expectation on Wall Street is that there will be a hike announced tomorrow and that it will not be the last hike. That's all conventional wisdom. Do you observe this being unusually confident given the scale of inflation and where we have to go?
I think that they are probably likely to increase rates this week and perhaps a few more times this year. Certainly the news on inflation seems to be relatively good recently because the rate has been slowing, although as we always remind, not that people need much reminding, but it's always worth pointing out that a slowing inflation rate does not mean prices are falling. They are just increasing more slowly than they were before. And so I think that we're going to be absorbing the after effects of the inflation of the past couple of years for a long time as the price level is going to stay high, and it will take people a while for their wages to catch up to that. I think in terms of this immediate meeting, what seems to be going on is that the Fed is going to want to signal that despite the fact that inflation has been slowing somewhat, they are not asleep at the switch, and they understand that they are not done until it hits their target of 2%. And so I think that you're going to see rate increases, but it is going to become harder and harder for them to explain what they're doing and why. Because remember, this is following a pause at the last meeting. It was called a hawkish pause, where they said that they were going to wait for new data. But it's difficult to point to any new data that has come out between then and now that makes it clear what the Fed should do. So I think that they're still kind of running on instinct. I happen to think that those instincts are probably correct. But it is becoming clearer that it's going to be harder for them to understand the effects that they are having on the economy the deeper into this we get, and the more confusing some of the economic signals become. And so I think that we're entering into a new and kind of troublesome phase from the Fed's perspective.
The expectation, Joe, is that when the Fed raises rates, and 10 times is a lot, we're accelerating raising rates, that a recession follows in some fashion. And as of the last time I checked, the Federal Reserve Board still predicts, says there's a mild recession coming. However, the Atlanta Fed says that right now the economy is growing at 2.4, which is very far from a recession. In addition, we're expected to have another jobs number at the end, in the beginning of August, reflecting July. It is somewhere in the 200,000 plus. That's a guess now. Neither of those things sound like a recession. So is this time different, Joe? Did the pandemic mean that history is not useful here?
Well, I think that what's really not useful are a bunch of the models that the Fed and other economists use to try to understand the economy and what they're doing. So this talk about the Fed trying to engineer a mild recession or a downturn in employment is all because the Fed's understanding of how the economy works is that if economic growth is too strong or if employment is too high, that causes inflation. And so that means that if you have an inflation problem, the solution is to slow the economy and try to reduce employment or soften the labor market in some way so that you'll have less price pressure. Now, there is very little evidence that the economy works this way and ample historical evidence that it does not. But this is their model and they're sticking to it. So that leaves us in the situation where a lot of this stuff is good news for the fight for inflation. It is good news if the inflation rate seems to be moderating while the economy is still growing. And some of the labor market data increasingly seem to be suggesting that high wages have been pulling workers off of the sidelines. Labor participation might be increasing again, especially for some crucial demographics. Partly that might be because people are, pushed to work more because of the effect of inflation on their household budgets, but it's also because if pay is going up, that creates incentives for more people to work more. That's healthy. That's a sign that the economy is responding to the signals that have been sent by rising wages the past few years. So I think that we're one of the danger points we face here is that you can have some of these signs that in one sense are actually quite good for the economy, but the Fed interprets them as bad news. And that can lead to the Fed making a different kind, but equally serious policy error on the back end of this economic cycle to the error that they made at the beginning of it when they were too slow to respond to inflation at the start.
I want to speak for the hawks. They're said to be, according to the Wall Street Journal, Christopher Waller, Michelle Bowman, Lori Logan of Dallas. The hawks. Loretta Mester of Cleveland is a non-voting hawk. The hawk case is that a contributor to our inflation is the enormous amount of spending by the federal government, Trump administration, Biden administration, and that that money has not been spent. It's still coming. And it's going to be pushed into the economy over the next X number of years. Therefore, backing away from raising rates and fighting inflation means that we're going to have a second scare. I believe it's happened before, where you back off on the rate hikes and suddenly inflation spikes again. That's the hawk case. Do you believe it, Joe?
Well, I think that there is definitely reason for the Fed to be concerned about the kind of stop-start pattern that was so destructive in the 60s and 70s. And I mean, this is definitely a part of Fed history that they are mindful of not wanting to repeat. And, I will say as a general matter that I also think that the markets probably are getting ahead of themselves in thinking about rate cuts, because the reality is that by historical standards, even after all of the rate increases that we've had over the past year, interest rates are not at unusually high levels. The overnight Fed funds rate, which is sort of the rate that the Fed directly targets, is just above 5% at the moment. That is a healthy rate of interest, and that's an interest rate that is consistent with healthy economic growth and productivity and wage growth and healthy employment. That interest rate is not alone enough to achieve those things. You also need the right kind of tax and regulatory policies from the president and Congress. But I think that some of the hawks are probably correct that the interest rate is not unduly high at the moment. And in fact, the interest rates are reaching levels that if they were to stay there for the longer term would probably be very stabilizing for the economy in a good way. So I think that for that reason, as much as because of any concerns about the returning to the Fed's baleful history of starting and stopping, it probably is way, way too early for them to be thinking about any kind of rate cut.
The Dove case, this would be Austin Goolsbee of Chicago, Lisa Cook, and Raphael Bostic of Atlanta, but he's not voting. The Dove case is that there's a shortage of housing stock available. Why? Because people see that they've got a 3 or 4% mortgage and are loath to give it up for a 7, 8, or 9% mortgage to move to another house. So there's a jam at the bottom. And that is an evidence of the Fed's cuts working as they wanted to bring housing, which was said to be in a bubble, under control. That's the Dove case, that we've achieved it already. enough, not for a cut, but just to stop the hikes. How do you respond to the Dove case?
Well, I mean, first off, it's very difficult to understand how any of the Fed's policies are transmitting to the housing market right now, because I think that the nature of the mortgage market in the U.S., the fact that people lock in rates for such a long time, and also don't forget that you have many millions of people don't have any mortgage at all, particularly if they are retired and have already paid off their homes during their working years. So I think that the transmission becomes a little difficult to track in that way. Now, I mean, it's true that raising rates after an extended period of ultra low rates does contribute to this phenomenon of housing lock that can kind of gum up the housing market because people don't want to sell and then have to borrow at higher rates. But that is a symptom of a deeper problem that the Fed created itself with the sustained period of ultra low interest rates, which is that it encouraged a lot of people to pour a lot of capital into the housing market instead of doing other things with it and to bid up housing prices. And I feel like the long-term solution to that can't be to encourage people to believe that at the first sign of stress, the Fed will step in to fix that problem again. So from that perspective, I think the Fed signaling that it is prepared to keep rates at not a high level, but a normal level, which is where we are right now, for extended periods of time, probably sends a good signal to everyone in the housing market about, what is the right amount of money to be borrowing for a house right now, versus some of the other returns you can get from that money or other ways that you can save. We need more of that kind of sensible signal instead of less of it.
Now the centrist case, and it's a big group, Patrick Harker of Philadelphia, Philip Jefferson, Michael Barr, John Williams, and the chairman himself, Anil Kashkari, and Mr. Powell. The centrist case is one more hike, as you say, announced tomorrow, and then a hike kept in our pocket watching the jobs market, which is moderating and not cooling might be too strong. It's moderating. That's a centrist case. Is that a safe play, Joe?
Well, I mean, as you know, John, I have always resisted trying to get into this game of figuring out whether they should increase by a quarter point or a half point or three quarters of a point at this meeting or that meeting or the other. I think that the more important signal that they need to be sending is that they are committed to operating a credible monetary policy that will get inflation under control and that also will help the economy over the medium term make better decisions about how to allocate resources. And so I think from that perspective, what both the hawks and the centrist view have going for them is the suggestion that actually we are at something approaching the appropriate level for short-term interest rates for the U.S. economy, and that we should not be talking about cutting rates. And so I think as long as that is the parameter for the discussion, I think that people can be somewhat relaxed. I think that we should start worrying if it sounds like they're actually talking about actively cutting again. I think that that kind of discussion sends exactly the wrong signal.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of The Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. He's in London, where there's a heat wave in Europe. And when we come back, life in London in the heat wave in the summer of 23. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.